Yurt dışına çıkacaklara müjde. Miles & Smiles Garanti BBVA kredi kartlarıyla yurt dışında toplam 60 bin lira ve üzeri fiziki alışveriş yapın. Garanti BBVA'daki varlık tutarınıza göre tek yön uçak bileti değerinde 8500 mil kazanın. 30 Nisan'a kadar ilk alışverişinizden önce bonus flash'tan kampanyaya katılmayı unutmayın. Ayrıntılı bilgi Miles & Smiles Garanti BBVA.com ve bonus flash'ta. Miles & Smiles kredi kartları 2000 yılından beri Garanti BBVA'dan.
Thank you for joining us in This Week in Turkey. I am Murat Tursan. Tonight, the finance minister resigns as the lira cracks 14-1. The European Council votes to begin infringement proceedings against Turkey for the Kavala case. One of the founding members of the Deva Party is arrested on espionage charges, and strong winds wreak havoc in Western Turkey. My guests tonight are future party economic policy president and former private bank sector treasurer Kerim Rota and senior researcher with the Human Rights Watch, Emma Sinclair Webb. Our main story tonight, the Minister of Treasury and Finance, Lütfi Elvan, resigns after the central bank finally intervenes on the lira. After his one-year tenure at the post, Elvan is replaced by his second-in-command, Nurettin Nebati, longtime supporter of President Erdogan's low interest rate policy. On Tuesday, the president made a TV appearance where he again persisted that he would see interest rates cut. The following day, the exchange rate briefly cracked 14-1, prompting the central bank to sell foreign currency reserves in an effort to flood the market. Though it did work, its effects were only temporary, as the lira is scraping 14-1 again today.
Treasury and Finance Minister Lütfi Elvan resigned from his post yesterday. Nurettin Nebati, Deputy Minister of Treasury and Finance, was appointed to replace Elvan. The decision was published on the Official Gazette the same day. The decision, published and signed by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, read, Nurettin Nebati has been appointed to the position of Minister of Treasury and Finance, vacated by Lütfi Elvan upon his request. His resignation was accepted in accordance with Articles 104 and 106 of the Constitution of the Republic of Turkey. Lütfi Elvan was appointed to the Ministry of Treasury and Finance on November 10, 2020, following the resignation of Berat Albayrak, President Erdogan's son-in-law. Elvan resigned from his post immediately after the central bank's direct intervention on the wildly fluctuating currency. On Tuesday, President Erdogan made a public appearance on the state channel TRT. After President Erdogan repeated his mantra, inflation is the result of high interest rates, the dollar broke 14-1 against the lira and began to decline only after the central bank intervened on the following day. The dollar fell from 13.81 to 12.46 after the intervention by the central bank, but climbed again during President Erdogan's speech in the Grand National Assembly. During his speech, President Erdogan said, exchange rates rise today and fall tomorrow. Inflation rises today and falls tomorrow, refuting the urgency of the currency crisis. During Erdogan's speech, the dollar rose again to 13.35 at around 1 p.m. The exchange rate fell below 13 liras again, but went back up over 13 liras half an hour later. While the central bank did not disclose the amount of foreign currency reserve assets sold to combat the fall of the lira, the sale did not have lasting effect. As of October 2021, the central bank reports that it has a foreign currency reserve of $124 billion. Consequently, the dwindling reserves and the deteriorating value of the lira seem to have put the central bank governor, Shahap Kavcıoğlu, at odds with President Erdogan. Yesterday, Governor Kavcıoğlu held a press conference where he stated that there was now very little room to reduce interest rates, going against President Erdogan's policy of interest rate cuts. Appointed earlier this year in March, Kavcıoğlu is the fourth governor of the central bank appointed in the last 5 years.
Joining me now, Kerim Rota, future party economic policy president. Mr. Rota, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rats. Now, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much. And how are you today? I'm very happy that you were able to make time to join us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, sir, I want to start off with this. You have held multiple high-level positions in the financial sector throughout your career. I'm sure you have seen your fair share of economic crises, particularly in Turkey. Now, President Erdogan insists that there is no cause for concern. The president famously said, the lira rises, the lira falls, inflation rises, the inflation falls. Now, in your opinion, how dire is the current financial situation really?
Murat, actually, I was in the financial sector for the last 30 years. I have seen such a big Turkish lira depreciation two times. One was in 1994 and the second one in 2001. And this is the third one that I see the Turkish lira depreciating more than 30% in a month's time. I just researched what has happened in Turkey for the last 75 years. It is the sixth biggest drop of the Turkish lira in the last 75 years. And as you may know, the Turkish lira was actually is on the Turkish lira has a different exchange fluctuation starting from 2001. But even this fluctuation is one of the biggest. So I guess now we are facing a big problem. The big problem is the deep negative interest, real interest rate in Turkish lira. This is the highest level I've ever seen as well. The food inflation is now 28% according to Turkish Statistics Office. But the interest rate, Turkish interest rate in the deposit market is like 15%. And the net rate is like 13%. So the interest rate, the negative interest rate reached 15% levels. So that created for many people to get rid of Turkish lira as soon as possible. It's like a bad money at the moment. Everybody would like to buy services or goods in order to get rid of the Turkish lira as soon as possible. And this kind of behavior, of course, increasing the money flows a lot in the system. So that means we will see much higher and higher inflationary pressures in the economy. Unfortunately, the government and the central bank has no weapons or no tools to intervene at the moment.
I see, sir. Now, I'm glad that you touched on the central bank because the central bank did intervene in the markets on Wednesday to curb the fall of the lira, a move that is rarely done by the central bank. What do you think is the current central bank strategy, and do you think it will work at all? What are they up to? They must have a plan of some sorts.
Yeah. The good thing with the central bank intervention right now is this is an official intervention. As you may remember, in 2019 and 2020, we saw in central bank interventions without an official announcement, and they used the state banks in order to intervene to the market. And that intervention has took like 20 months and cost $128 billion to Turkish economy. The good thing is that now it's official, but such kind of direct intervention should be very short-sighted, it should be very short and small. This is what the central bank is doing. This is the good part. But the bad part is when you have such kind of deep, real negative interest rate, any intervention will not actually, it cannot be successful at all. It is like feeding a fish in the sea. I mean, there are new fish coming, and they never fed up. So I guess central bank is now just waiting, divesting their reserves at the moment with such kind of intervention. The problem is on the other side. The problem is there are two problems. The first one is there is a very big credibility gap. Both in central bank and both in economy management. And the second one is that Turkish lira interest rates are really very low in real terms. And this is not sustainable. One may ask that Turkish deposit dollarization reached 60% levels. In 2001, we all also saw to the 60% levels. And in 2012-13 years, we saw levels lower than 30%. So the dollarization is one of the highest historical levels right now. But the problem is that If you have such kind of inflationary expectations in the market, and if everybody wants to get rid of the local currency, you may see much, much higher dollarization level. So if central bank trusts that the dollarization is on historical higher levels, and there are no foreigners in the market, so that they may think that the foreigners and locals will not buy anymore. This is not true. We may see much, much higher dollarization levels. My expectation is we may see 70-75% in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
75%.
Yeah.
All right. And doom and gloom a little bit, but, sir, I do want to end on one thing. Now, Mr. Rota, Lütfi Elvan, the finance minister, resigned his position on Tuesday after the central bank indeed intervened in the markets and was immediately replaced by his second-in-command. And now central bank governorship Cavcıoğlu is butting heads with President Erdogan, saying that the cutting of the interest rates doesn't further seem feasible at this point. What do you make of Mr. Elvan's resignation, Mr. Cavcıoğlu's statements at this time?
Yeah. Actually, Mr. Elvan's resignation was more than expected for the markets. But the replacement was with the deputy minister, which was not expected, actually. But I should add that even the central bank governor or the finance minister does not have any function at all in Turkish economy. It's the presidential system, but it is a Turkish type, maybe I should call weird a presidential system, that the only decision maker is the president. And now the two replacements, the central bank governor and the minister, will not actually function. Maybe they will decide some technical issues, but it will not change the big picture.
I see. So they're practically just figureheads in this Turkish-style presidential system, shall we call it. All right. And Mr. Zorota, thank you for your analysis, and thank you for making the time to join us tonight.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Our pleasure. In other news, Deva Party founding member Metin Gürcan has been arrested on charges of espionage. Gürcan, a 16-year-old army veteran, military and defense subject matter expert, and a high-ranking official in the Democracy and Progress Party, is being held based on security cam images of him meeting foreign delegates from Italy and Spain. Gürcan insists that he revealed no classified information and provided only consultation services on Middle Eastern geopolitical climate. Gürcan frequently appears on TV as a subject matter expert and offers consultation services, but the government insists that his services are tantamount to treason.
Metin Gürcan, a member of the founding board of Democracy and Progress, or DEVA Party, was detained last Friday, November 26, on charges of political and military espionage. Gürcan was later arrested and incarcerated on Monday by a criminal court. According to Habertürk News, the images obtained as a result of technical and physical surveillance were shown to Gürcan during his interrogation at the police station. Gürcan stated that he met with foreign mission officers from time to time. In these meetings, Gürcan explained that he would share weekly charts and analyses on Turkey, the Middle East, and denied the espionage allegations. Gürcan said, "I have not shared any confidential information and documents with any diplomat." Metin Gürcan is a former military officer who served in operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and frequently appears on television as a defense subject matter expert and offers consultation services. Sources state that Gürcan met with dignitaries from Spain and Italy. Gürcan stated that he has been providing completely legitimate consultancy services to individuals and institutions since 2019. Gürcan said that he compiled development in countries such as Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, the Ukraine, Afghanistan, and Libya from publicly available information. During his interrogation, Gürcan was also asked about his meeting with a foreign mission officer about Turkish drones operated in the Karabakh region captured by Azerbaijan after the most recent conflict with Armenia. Ali Babacan, the DEVA Party chair, commented on Gürcan's arrest, stating, "I would like to express that our lawyers will provide support to Mr. Gürcan. We will inform the public after we have more detailed information about the subject. If the arrest is of a political nature, and if they are targeting our party, they can never intimidate DEVA. If there is a political intention behind this, if it is a situation with political motivation, they cannot stop us."
In other news, while the government continues to imprison political figures, looks like it's starting to catch up with them. Osman Kavala, businessman and political activist, has been incarcerated since 2017 for charges ranging from terrorism to espionage. Every time Kavala beat the charges, the prosecutors came up with fresh ones to keep him in prison. However, the European Human Rights Court took notice and ordered Kavala's release, but a Turkish lower court still refuses to release Kavala despite the rigid hierarchy. 35 out of 32 Europe Council members voted in favor of beginning infringement procedures today, as Turkey was given until this council meeting to release Kavala, but failed to do so. The story is still developing, and as of yet, we are not sure how that procedure will play out, but this is the story so far.
After the Turkish court's decision on Monday to keep Osman Kavala, a Turkish businessman and philanthropist who's been a detainee for about 4 years, in jail, the Council of Europe Committee of Ministers decided to initiate an infringement process. The committee has been calling on Turkey to release Kavala for years, especially after the European Court of Human Rights ruling in 2019 in favor of his release. Turkey claims that the ECHR rulings are not binding, therefore Turkish courts must decide on Kavala's fate. The COE Committee of Ministers notified Turkey yesterday that it would start an infringement process since Turkey once again refused to free Osman Kavala. The Council of Europe asked Turkey to submit its views of the case by January 19, 2022. In a statement made by the Turkish Foreign Ministry, Turkey says that the case, which has been a target for criticisms from the West and the international community for being politically motivated, should be decided by Turkish courts. In line with the principle of respect for pending judicial proceedings, we call on the Council of Europe to avoid taking further steps, which would mean interfering with independent judiciary. Everyone, and above all, the Committee of Ministers and Council of Europe should respect and trust in legal proceedings conducted by independent and impartial courts.
Joining me now to comment, senior researcher with the Human Rights Watch, Emma Sinclair Webb. Ms. Sinclair Webb, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Ms. Sinclair Webb, now, we've been waiting on the Kavala decision to come down for a few months now. Previously, the Council of Europe had warned that if Kavala was not released by the next meeting, infringement would be put to a vote. Now, many were surprised that the infringement proceedings passed, though narrowly. But the Council of Europe had been going easy on Turkey for so long, possibly due to the precarious refugee situation. Were you at all surprised by this decision?
Actually, this is a decision we expected, because the Council of Europe, in fact, at the Committee of Ministers session back in September, did indeed indicate to Turkey that they would take this step of notifying infringement proceedings if Osman Kavala were not released by the 30th of November. And of course, he wasn't released. So this was, in fact, the Committee of Ministers following through on their word from September. And yes, it passed by two-thirds. We understand that 35 countries voted for the infringement proceedings. That's you know, over the two-thirds needed. So it was an expected decision, but a welcome decision.
I see. Absolutely. Now, I believe we're all in dark about what this means for Turkey. Theoretically speaking, the Council has several tools for recourse, financial penalties most notably. At this point, are we aware what this infringement proceedings, how these infringement proceedings will play out and what this will mean for Turkey?
Well, what the decision says is that at the February the 2nd session coming up, the Committee of Ministers will refer back the Kavala Turkey decision, the judgment of the European Court, back to the European Court of Human Rights, and will ask the European Court of Human Rights for an opinion on whether Turkey has not implemented the judgment. Now, we sort of know what the answer will be. Turkey hasn't implemented the judgment so far, but this is the process as it plays out. It's a slightly slow process where the court has to give another decision before, again, the Committee of Ministers then decides to take further measures on that basis. So it's all a question of time. It sort of follows a set of procedures and steps. So nothing is instant. But what happened with the decision that the Committee of Ministers gave is that they gave Turkey another chance by saying to Turkey, you have to report back to us your opinion on this matter by the 19th of January 2022. And that is actually 2 days after the next hearing in the Kavala case, the ongoing trial of Osman Kavala, of the Charsha football fans, of other people also accused of organizing the Gezi protests. You know, the big trial is ongoing. So basically, Turkey has been given a chance to, again, to release Osman Kavala, to partially fulfill the obligation to implement the decision. And implementing the decision of a European court decision, which is a binding requirement on all Council of Europe member states, means that, yes, you should release Osman Kavala, Turkey, but you should also drop all of these false prosecutions, these bogus proceedings against him, because the European Court has said there's insufficient evidence to hold him in detention and to proceed on this basis. It has deeply questioned the evidentiary aspect of the case against Osman Kavala.
I see. And finally, perhaps less consequential for a nation, but more for a man. Do you foresee this as a consequential decision for Osman Kavala? What are the chances that Turkey actually follows through? Because in the past, Turkey has not been so cooperative, shall we say.
Well, indeed. I mean, this. Remember, this is the second time in the history of the Council of Europe that we're seeing infringement proceedings triggered. So it's a pretty momentous event for the Council of Europe, and it really acknowledges, in a way, the level of the rule of law crisis that there is in Turkey. And that's why it is an important decision coming from the Council of Europe. Will Turkey comply with this? Well, we will see. Of course, after eight decisions of the Committee of Ministers calling for this to happen, Turkey didn't comply. Now that the committee has upped the ante by saying we're putting you on infringement proceedings, and infringement proceedings could in the future lead to real sanctions against Turkey, like being prevented from voting at the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, perhaps, or in the end even being expelled, though that would be something that no one wants and would be well down the road. These are the kinds of sanctions that, in theory, are possible, though. And so Turkey really has to now, you know, wake up to the fact that this is not something that the Council of Europe does easily. And it is the measure of how degraded the rule of law is in Turkey that things have come to this point.
Yeah, that's fair enough. They did, in all due fairness, gave us a lot of rope, and we'll see where that leads. Ms. Claire Webb, thank you for your analysis, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
In domestic news, windstorms strong enough to strip roofs and rip trees held Western Turkey hostage for 2 days this week. Turks have names for particular types of winds, and this one is called Lodos, a powerful southwesterly wind. Typically, Lodos is but a pleasant breeze on a hot summer's night, but this week, Meteorology Directorate sounded the yellow alarm as most of Western Turkey plunged into chaos. Though no fatalities are being reported, the damage is measured in the millions. We leave you with these images. Good night.
Video çektim ya.
Sur devrildi.
Devrildi ya.
Devrildi, 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 devrildi. 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 Geç, geç şuradan, geç. Sur devrildi.
Ya aksi iş yapıyorsun.
Bak devrildi tırlar. Tırlar devrildi. Tırlar devrildi. Tırlar devrildi.
Thank you. Türkiye'nin sivil, bağımsız, özgür ve çoğulcu bir medya ortamına ihtiyacı var. Medyascope, 20 Ağustos 2015'te bu ihtiyacı karşılamak üzere yola çıktı. Ama yolumuz uzun. Bu yolculukta bize Patreon veya YouTube'un katıl butonu üzerinden katkıda bulunabilirsiniz. Destek verin, sizinle güçlenelim.
Yurt dışına çıkacaklara müjde. Miles & Smiles Garanti BBVA kredi kartlarıyla yurt dışında toplam 60 bin lira ve üzeri fiziki alışveriş yapın. Garanti BBVA'daki varlık tutarınıza göre tek yön uçak bileti değerinde 8500 mil kazanın. 30 Nisan'a kadar ilk alışverişinizden önce bonus flash'tan kampanyaya katılmayı unutmayın. Ayrıntılı bilgi Miles & Smiles Garanti BBVA.com ve bonus flash'ta. Miles & Smiles kredi kartları 2000 yılından beri Garanti BBVA'dan.